Hello and welcome to How to Lead a Group, a leadership podcast for everybody. This is the podcast where we talk to experts. We want to distill the collective wisdom to understand kind of what is the best way for us to lead and care for the people that God has put in front of us. Just trying to get everything from just the practical tips and tricks to the deeper principles that will help us do this well. This week we're talking about having a plan for your group, just understanding, okay, where are we going? What are we doing? You know, having a clear sense of vision for where we're trying to go. Before we get into that, my name is Eric Ankenman. I'm on the content team here at Crossroads, and I'm joined as always by the lovelier half of the podcast duo.
I'm Jamie Sims. Oh, wow.
Now I'm just trying to mess you up.
It's true. I'm Jamie Sims, and I'm on our communications team. As you guys know, I like to do a segment called Get to Know Your Host. So today's question.
Bring it on.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
What did I want to be when I grew up? So I think you can divide this probably into two categories. You've got like the little kid section, which I think was like a steady stream of like superhero and
as
like,
you
know, knight in shining, like depending on whatever
or princess
brand.
If you're a young
I didn't
girl.
Do I wasn't a lot of princess.
No, I know, I'm just saying in the same vein.
That's fair. Yeah. So you had that kind of whole steady stream, and then I think when I was in elementary school I had this idea, I think from a like one of those where a parent comes in and talks about their job sort of thing. We had a doctor come in and talk in our class, like, oh, that looks cool. I want to be a doctor. And then I got a little older and realized how much science and math was involved in being a doctor and how much I didn't want to spend the next several years of my life doing nothing but science and math, and that was kind of out the door. I do much better with words most of the time. So what about you?
I don't remember, like, when I was little being like, oh, I want to be a princess or I want to be that. I just remember, like, both of my parents were workaholics, and I thought, like, I could do that way better than they did it. So I wanted to be the working parent in the home, and I wanted my husband to be a stay-at-home dad. Like, that is the only distinct memory I had of, like, childhood and what I wanted to be. I was like, I want to be the worker. I don't know what that means, but... and then in high school, I kind of had like a thing. I wanted to be an athletic trainer. Like I wanted to travel with a pro football team or a pro baseball team and to like look after injuries. And then that kind of like, I went through this like whole thing of like, well, okay, maybe I would do it for a college and then maybe a high school. And then I was like, I'll be an engineer.
So. That's quite the jump from athletic trainer to engineer to now working
at a church on the communications.
In communications.
Like, yeah, no.
All right, so we've probably fooled around long enough, don't you think? Let's introduce our guest. We are joined today by one of the experts, not quite in residence, but you do spend a fair amount of time in contact with this community and down here pretty frequently, Paul McConaughey. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, but before we get into any of the serious stuff, we have a little get-to-know-you quiz that we always like to do with everybody that comes on the podcast.
Sure.
Kind of five questions, rapid-fire, get-to-know-you sort of stuff. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. What is your job, and tell us a little bit about your family.
Okay, I have lots of different jobs. So I work at a church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, doing leadership and discipleship stuff with them. And then the other component what I do really is I head up an organization called 3DM, which does training and consultancy with churches and with pastors all over America to help them to transition their church into much more of a kind of missional discipleship-based kind of church. So that's my main kind of focus, I guess.
Excellent.
In terms of my family, I'm married to Ellie, and we've been married 21 years. Got two daughters, Grace, who is 17, and Hannah, who's 15.
Awesome. What's your middle name?
Michael.
What's the best movie you've seen in the last year?
I think that would have to be Hacksaw Ridge. I don't know whether you've seen that movie. It's probably come up before if people
have
asked.
It has, for sure.
It's an awesome movie. If anyone out there hasn't yet seen it, you need to go and see that movie. It's fantastic.
How many cats is too many cats?
I would say one is too many.
Beautiful. Man after my own heart. What's your biggest pet peeve?
Do you know, I think, you know when you get when you buy stuff that only has one job? and then it doesn't do that job. Like the other day, I had an ice cream scoop. Like, an ice cream scoop only has one job, yeah? So we had slightly hard ice cream, and the ice cream scoop broke in half. On the like, you had one job. So, yeah, stuff that only has one job and doesn't do it. Yeah.
So, I want to add one other question onto this quiz here, because as all of our listeners will readily have noticed by now, you are the possessor of a fantastic accent that I think probably automatically makes you sound smarter and more cultured than either Jamie or I.
It's true.
And clearly does not come from living and growing up in the Midwest. So where did you get that fantastic accent?
I think it is fair to say that it's not a Fort Wayne accent.
Right.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Although, of course, to me, you guys are the ones with the accents. But
that's fair.
Yeah, no, I'm English. I was born in London, grew up in a city called Sheffield in northern England. And we moved to the States about 2.5 years ago, so not long enough for me to lose my accent.
Beautiful. Hold on to that thing. So, last time around, we talked a fair amount about relationships and how in any group, you know, there's this tension between the relational aspect and then content or what kinds of things we're doing. We talked quite a bit about the need to emphasize relationships. And today we want to kind of swing the pendulum back the other way, because even with relationships being primary, there's still this kind of practical concern of like, I've got to do something with them. I have to have some sort of plan. Mm-hmm. So we want to unpack that a little bit today. So knowing that we've got group leaders that are kind of all over the map, like, what's the kind of big picture opening advice you'd give to just group leaders in general about thinking through how do you plan for a group?
Sure. Well, I think that one of the really important things is, even kind of goes before planning, is that you have to have a sense of vision. So what is it that you're trying to achieve? You mm-hmm. know, I think as Christians, we have, you know, if you the DNA of the Bible, it seems to me, that goes all the way through from the beginning to the end of the Bible, is a kind of a weave of covenant and kingdom. So covenant is about the relationships that you were talking about last mm-hmm. time, and kingdom is about the activities, about the things that God wants us to do. You know, it says, doesn't it, of the increase of his kingdom there shall be no end. And mm-hmm. So groups always will have a purpose, and in some ways, if it's a group run by Christians, the purpose is going to be about extending the kingdom of God. So I think you have to start by saying, you know, what's the vision? What are we trying to achieve here? And you can ask that at a number of different levels, can't you? You can say, you know, what are we trying to achieve in a kind of bigger picture in our neighborhood or in the kind of wider network of people that this group is kind of part of, or in our church?
Mm-hmm.
You could say, what are we trying to achieve with individuals in the group? You know, what mm-hmm. do we want? What's our vision for people who, if you join this group, then what would we like to have happened in your life? Mm-hmm. You know, however many weeks or months in the future. So I think starting with vision, then you can start, once you have a clear sense of vision, then you can start to kind of plan into that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking to a brand new group leader who we in previous weeks we talked about, it's just like there's nerves there and not knowing if they're worthy and not knowing how they can step forward. So could you give them like just an idea of how to plan those first 2 months of like what should they do and what are reasonable expectations they should have?
Sure. One of my tips would be, I think that when you first start a group, you need that vision, but you also need a core team. And my recommendation would be that a core team has to have at least two units, and by a unit I mean either a single person or a couple. So a couple, sure, it's two people, but you're kind of one thing as well. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily have that external perspective that you have. So I would say start by having a vision, and then by finding at least one other person or couple that you can, who can share with you the process of planning. Because I think planning is very difficult if you're just trying to do it in your head without any other reference. Whereas once you have a little team of people to talk about it, it suddenly gets much easier, because you're thinking about, you know, well, what have we noticed is going on first time we met, what, you know, so on. So that would be one little tip, would be to have a core team. And then I think the other thing would be to begin to think about the components of the group, the different components of group life. You know, to me, the essence of what we're called to be as Christians could be summed up in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Great Commandment: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, depending on which version you read. Yeah. So, love God, and love your neighbour. So that's the Great Commandment, and then the Great Commission: go and make disciples. And I don't think you can go far wrong in a group, regardless of what the group is. So you may just be having a group to say, we're going to meet on a Wednesday night and we're going to study Romans for 10 weeks. Or you may have a group that's saying, we're trying to reach our neighbourhood with the good news of Jesus, and this is a long-term thing, and we're really trying to, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole range of what you could do as a group, isn't there? But I would suggest that any group, if you're leading it, and if it's a kingdom kind of venture, if it has a kingdom vision, you should be able to begin to answer those questions. What's our vision for how we fulfill the Great Commandment? So that's about, you know, loving God and each other, and also the Great Commission. So what are the components of our group? So even if we're just doing a Bible study, you know, what are the components of that which are about discipleship as opposed to just, you know, learning more about God, for example? Does that make sense?
It does.
So I think that gives you that kind of background can give you a framework that then you can start to build a plan around on a weekly basis.
You know, though, you breaking it down like that feels to me like you're describing what I've heard used in other circles around here as just up, in, and out. You know, that relationship with God, that relationship with others, and then the relationship with the world or you know, people you're trying to reach, and those sorts of things. Let's back up for a little bit. You unpacked those a little bit, but talk to me about why those are so important, kind of more from a practical standpoint, and kind of what happens in a group when those aren't there. You know, it's one thing to go, okay, yeah, we should do all those things, but like there's a practical reason behind it too.
There is. So the thing about a group is that if it's going to grow and the people in it are going to flourish, I think those different components are all kind of essential in there. So a classic group for me would be, really, when you're planning a group, you have to think about how far you're trying to go with the people in that group. Mm-hmm. I think it's a legitimate thing to, you know, it may be that you're trying to build, you know, full-on extended family type stuff long-term. That's great. But it may be that actually you're clear, we haven't got the time to do that right now. We've got very busy lives. Our kids are all doing sports, whatever it is. But we do want to meet once a week with some other Christians to, you know, press into some things. Mm-hmm. So I think one thing is it's really important to be clear about what is the scope of what we're trying to do, and be very clear with people that you invite to join your group what it is that you do. So I think, you know, every group has boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's better if they're declared boundaries than if they're secret boundaries that people only discover when they step over them. Yeah. So it's like somebody joins your group because they really want to spend all their time with you, but actually there was this hidden boundary that it's only a Wednesday night and that's all I'm offering. It's better if you're actually up front, you know.
Right.
But having said that, whatever the scope of the group, I would say that you probably want some component of devotional time. Mm-hmm. So some component of, you know, thinking about scripture or worship and it depends what's going on. If it's a group, for example, that has lots of seekers in it, lots of people who don't yet know Jesus, then it's not probably going to be singing hymns together and right. You know, and doing a 40-minute Bible study.
Mm-hmm. Come on, but we just got together to brew beer. Like, what are we?
Yeah, exactly. But you probably want something in there. So, for example, one of the things that we do I lead a missional community with my wife on our neighbourhood, and we've got a lot of folks there who are seekers but definitely don't know the Lord yet. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any church background. So we don't at this point do, you know, formal worship or anything, but what we do do is after we've eaten together, when we all get together for a bit of time, and every week we go around and we do Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And we start with the kids. We go around and everyone says something they're thankful for, and because that's something you can do if you're Christian or if you're not Christian. Mm-hmm. But it just is a way of beginning. It's just a really basic, simple way of actually kind of it's the kind of love God component, isn't it? You're just so you want to put something like that in every week, I would say. And then you want something as well that just gives people a chance to build community within a group. Mm-hmm. So if you get a group where people are so focused on the task that you don't give any time to building a relationship, the group will attract certain kinds of people who are not very relational. Mm-hmm. And if you have too many of those kinds of people in a group, the group is not going to flourish. Mm-hmm. You want to have a task, you want to have a vision, but there's got to be the relational component. So, for example, you're meeting, you know, midweek, once a week, you've just got a couple of hours, so you don't want to do some big meal, but it may be that you decide you're just going to do, I don't know, desserts or something quicker, or you're just going to get people to bring some nice baked goods or something. Eating together is a really, really important component of group life, I think. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's the magic, you know, it's the magic ingredient, but it, I think it is a really important component to building a sense of community.
Sure.
And then, so you're thinking about some sort of devotional component, you're thinking about some sort of thing about how do we build community each week. And then the other thing I would say would be, you know, at Crossroads, Crossroads is not a church that's an insular, inward-looking church. It's a church that's really aware that part of our task is to share the good news with other people. And so I think regardless of what your task is, there should be some part of your planning, which is how do we make sure that when we meet, that what we're doing is accessible for people who don't know Jesus yet. So, for example, it's worth thinking about the language that you use in the group. If it's over Christianese, you know, Christian kind of language, that could make it very difficult for people who aren't Christians. How do we identify and invite people who don't yet know the Lord, and how do we make that part of the fabric of what we're doing? So I'd say thinking about those components as much as possible as you plan on a weekly basis is important. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I'd say in group life is you probably just need to have some predictable patterns. You obviously don't want it to be boring and be the same thing every week. Mm-hmm. But I've found that group life works really, it really helps group life if there are some things that you do every week. So it's everybody like who comes kind every of week,
a
yeah.
rhythm I know like, what
yeah.
to expect.
Yeah, this is we always do this. You yeah. know?
So, how do you approach like the out component with people who are non-believers? Like, how do you
that's good.
Really get them on board with it? Or because arguably they could be a part of your out and like sure. helping them come in.
Like with your neighborhood group. That's sure. Like, that springs to mind.
Yeah, that's helpful. Well, I mean, what I would say is that actually, in terms of vision, I mean, you mentioned up, in, and out earlier, Eric. And in terms of vision, I think it really helps if you actually have a little, in your mind at least, you have a little vision statement for each of those three components. Mm-hmm. So what are we trying to do with our group in terms of the upward dimension, loving God? What are we trying to do in terms of our community, inward dimension? And who are we trying to reach? And I think the out always needs to be a who, not a what. Because what we tend to do is we tend to be a bit nervous of trying to reach people who don't know Jesus. So we feel like we ought to do an out, but we often will make the out some sort of service project or something instead of actually trying to reach people who don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
So that'd be a little tip would be when you say the out, try and make it a who, not a what. Mm. And so we're doing a neighborhood missional community. So our inward vision is we want to learn how to be great neighbors who feel like family. Mm. Our upward vision is we want to be people who don't just know about God but actually get to know God. Mm-hmm. And our outward vision is we want to reach people in the Longwood neighborhood who don't yet know Jesus with the good news. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what we would do is if a Christian approaches us and says, I'd like to join your group, mm-hmm. we'd say, we'd love you to join the group, but only if the vision is your vision.
Right.
And we'd tell them the out. For Christians, we'd tell them the out vision. We'd say, our vision is to reach the people of Longwood neighborhood with the gospel. Mm-hmm. Is that your vision? Because it looks to me like you don't even live in Longwood. I mean, how does that work? You know,
right.
Or whatever it is. So you have a conversation like that with Christian, because what you don't want, one of the things that can really stop a group from being effective in terms of growing with seekers is that you get so full of Christians who just join because they like you but don't really share the vision, mm-hmm. that then you spend all your time looking after the Christians and you don't have enough time to reach out to anybody. Yeah, so mm-hmm. you've got to watch that when you form a group, I think.
Yeah.
So I would always, you know, I'd definitely be open to any Christian joining a group of mine, but I'd say, well, that's the vision. Is that the vision you want? And for example, there's a couple who've joined our group who are Christians who aren't from our neighbourhood. They're from another neighbourhood. But they said to us, well, we want to learn how to do this from you guys. Mm-hmm. So we'll commit to reaching the people of your neighbourhood for the next year with you if in a year's time you'll send us out and release us and send us out to do it in our neighbourhood. So we're like, great, that sounds great, yeah?
Yeah.
But then what I found is with people who are seekers or who don't yet know Jesus, you still have to invite them based on vision. Mm-hmm. So it's inauthentic and a bit disingenuous if someone thinks they're just coming to hang out and then they find there's some group going on, you know.
Right.
You've got to be up front with people. But what I would do is with non-Christians, I would use the up and the in vision. So we got to know some folks in our neighbourhood. We actually went round door to door, about 50 houses around our house, knocked on the doors and said, hi, we're your new neighbours. This is when we moved in. The English accent helped. We said, you know, we've just moved into your neighbourhood, just thought we'd get to know you. And my wife got a Google map of all the houses in our neighbourhood, blew it up big, and we wrote the names of each neighbour and any of their kids. So we knew all the names of all 50 people in the houses around us, yeah? Mm. So then we went back to them, now we've got their names, with a card, with a personal invitation by name, to say, this is back in the summer, to say, we're going to have an English tea party in our backyard on Saturday afternoon. Would love you to come, yeah? So we gave them all of those invitations. About 40 turned up, yeah?
Wow.
That's yeah? awesome.
And then the ones that didn't turn up, we took some of the leftover brownies and the English cream tea is like scones with jam and cream, yeah? So we took those in little bags around to the ones that didn't, so we still had another point of contact, yeah? So right. we start, and then we did some other events through the summer, just big events, just designed to get to know people. Mm-hmm. And all the time we were asking, who are the people who really feel like people of peace? Who are the people that actually are open to us, that mm-hmm. want to hang out with us? Because mm-hmm. they're the people we're going to invite. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as we got to know people, we began to identify them. Our next door neighbours that we moved next to, who are Christians, they were our core team. So they were doing this with us. Mm-hmm. So we're meeting and saying, okay, that was a great time. Who do we think the people of peace were? And eventually we narrowed it down to about 3 or 4 families. And so we made the ask. We said, hey guys, we're going to start meeting every week. And this is what our group is about. It's we want to learn how to be great neighbours that feel like family, and we want to be people who don't just know about God but actually know God. And we just felt like it's been great getting to know you. Would you be interested in doing that with us? And of the four families, it was four families mainly that we asked, one of them said, we really like you guys, but we don't like that overt God stuff. So they didn't. The other three came, and they've still been coming every week. They've been mm-hmm. coming regularly.
Wow.
So it's been awesome, because then it's authentic, isn't it? You haven't... They know what they're coming to.
Yeah.
We're still running the group in a way that is very accessible to them. So, you know, we're not singing the hymns. We're just doing a Thanksgiving.
Right. Right.
But we're still talking about stuff in the Bible, you know, in an informal way. We'll tell a story every week. We'll say, you know, this happened to me. It made me think about this scripture. And then we'll get people to break down into little groups and talk and pray about it. And we haven't seen anybody come to faith yet. We've only been doing this a few months. But we've really seen a number of them really growing in their faith. Just a few weeks ago, one guy confessed sin. We had a group of guys praying as we broke out into groups, and for the first time he said in his life he confessed some stuff to God and asked for forgiveness. Well, that's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's been exciting. So I'd say the tip would be, if for Christians joining your group, mm-hmm. talk about the outward vision and make sure that they're aligned with that vision if they're going to join the group.
Yeah.
For seekers and for non-Christians, talk about the upward and the inward vision, but still invite them based on vision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obviously, in terms of the spectrum of the group, I'm talking about probably the groups more at the missional community sure. type end.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that's true to some extent, regardless of what group you have. Because
okay.
I think that if you have a group that doesn't have an outward component and a missional component to it, in the end, it will tend to become inward looking and stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about together reaching out to those who don't yet know Jesus that injects life into the life of any group. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of as we wrap up here, there's a couple questions I'd love for us to end with. And you've mentioned several different things kind of throughout, but I'd love to have, you know, so for anybody who's listening going, you know, this is great, or, you know, I'm seeing a lot of connecting points. Like, if you could tell any group leader, if you do nothing else, do this, what would that thing be?
I think it would be get a core team, get a vision. I think if you've got those two things, you can go a long way. If you don't get those two things, you kind of bump along the bottom trying to make your group work, and it never quite comes together. So up in out vision and a core team with at least one other person or couple that you can kind of plan with and think through, I'd say that would be the really important one.
That's good.
Awesome. So on the other side of this, to make it more human for people, and especially just letting them know, like, it may not work right or the way you expect it every time. Can you share like a funny fail story or just a funny story around you know, planning for a group that you've had or
sure.
how it didn't go?
Well, the first group that my wife and I really ran, we were worship leaders at the church that we were at in Sheffield, England, and we heard about this kind of missional community thing. We got excited about it. And at that point it was a very kind of presentational worship. We had a worship team of 30 people, a lot of really good musicians. Mm-hmm. It was quite a big church, and we practiced for about 2.5-3 hours on a Thursday night, ready for the Sunday, you know.
Sure.
And we just got really excited about this missional community idea, and we thought what we'll do is we'll turn it into a missional community. So we'll still meet on a Thursday, but we'll eat together, we'll do some worship together, we'll talk about faith a bit, and we'll have a vision for welcoming the stranger, and we'll start reaching out to some non-worship team people and seeing if we can get some people to join us and see if we can share Jesus with them. And we were really excited about it, so we gathered the worship team together and we shared this vision with them, and we said, we want you to go away, have a think about it, have a pray about it, come back next week and tell us whether you're up for this. And so we gathered the next week, 30 in the worship team. Of the 30, 27 left.
Oh no.
So the following week, we're having to lead worship. I mean, fortunately, my wife played keyboard and I played guitar. The other person who stayed with us played the oboe. So it's like, there's only so many oboe solos you can have, do you know what I mean? So yeah, that didn't feel like, it felt like maybe we jumped in the deep end of it too quick with that one. It worked out okay in the end, but it was a pretty pretty scary.
A lot of oboe for a little while there.
That's funny. Well, thank you for sharing that.
And thanks for joining us today. This is awesome.
It's been great to be with you. Thanks for
awesome.
So Eric, what are we doing?
What are we doing
next time? We're talking about spiritual parenting.
Ooh, spiritual parenting.
Yeah.
Are we talking about regular parenting too?
We're talking about children.
All right. Think of the children.
Yes. Think of the kids.
Awesome. Thanks everybody for joining us. We'll see you next time.